this was not an accident. This was premeditated, and it's been premeditated for a long time. We saw Anthony Fauci directly funneling funds to researchers in Hong Kong and other parts of China. But by that time, millions of dollars were already invested through the National Institutes of Health, through the Department of Health and Human Services, through NIAID, and directly managed by Anthony Fauci, who actually was the architect of making the SARS version of coronavirus a pathogen of commercial interest. The establishment of the way in which the executive branch of our government works, he authorized Fauci's breaking the law. That's on his watch. That's not on Trump's watch. That's on Biden's watch. He cannot admit that he violated the law.
If you have not been looking at C60 as a means to significantly improve your health and your immunities, you should be. Here's why. First, a strong and healthy immune system is your body's first defense. And for those with a strong immune system, your body will adequately fight illnesses without medical intervention. Second, C60 is safe. As long as you're taking a high quality C60 with no added fillers or solvents. Third, C60 is the best means of removing free radicals from your body that exist. It's at least 200 times better at this function than vitamin C and any other antioxidant. This is the magic. When you free up your body's resources from fighting free radicals, they then can focus their attention on healing. Every person has different needs, but the magic begins when your body can start to heal. So now it becomes clear you need the best free radical fighter that exists, and that is C60 with black seed oil and curcumin. Go to sarahwessel.com/shop and learn more about why this formula is so powerful. Also available by diffuser with ultra refined C60 oil to safely get directly into your lungs. It's also the best way to help your family pets by just being in the same room. Be sure to read the research and, of course, use the current coupons to save money when you buy. Patrons also receive a 10% discount. You can find that code at patreon.com/sarahwessel. Remember, keeping you and your family safe is the most important thing you can do. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have David Martin coming to the show. He's fantastic. We really got into meaningful dialogue about what is going on and with our current global shutdown and pandemic. And he is has a very philosophical view and kind of zooms way out. And it's a great conversation. And then he sticks around for my patrons and talks about how a group of people purchased the Obama presidency and actually stole more money than anyone in our history. He was actually asked to be part of this group. He knows who the group is. He tells the whole story. That is a fabulous conversation. And then it gets into more of dialogue about where we're at right now in this country. And he has comments. I push back. He pushed back. It was a wonderful conversation. He's very intelligent, and we could have a really good conversation. And I think everybody who listens will get a lot out of it. It's for my patrons. You can join my Patreon by going to patreon.com/sarahwestall. Those that join also can get a free $50 gift card to purchase the Zeolite detox, which I've been trying to get people to try because, as you know, we are bombarded with crap in our environment, whether it's being sprayed from above or it's coming out of our food or whatever it's coming from. And this has been proven to be 100 times better than any other detox. It gets into the cell. They have a patent pending process to get into the cell and pull those out. It's a phenomenal, and you can try it for a month. Get the $50 gift card and try it. Maybe get, since you can buy whatever with the gift card, you could do like the pack and get the gut and the full body. And it's a wonderful opportunity. Again, you can go to patreon.com under Sarah Westall and sign up and get to that and get this exclusive interview. And also, I want to let everybody know, get on my newsletter, please, because that is how you're going to make sure that you can get my information long term. If you're on Gmail, maybe you want to get on ProtonMail or something that's safer, because they are weeding out people in certain servers. But you want to sign up for my newsletter to make sure you get notification of all the shows that I have, because I don't think you're getting notification through YouTube or other means. I'm also growing very quickly in podcasts. I've quadrupled in the last 6 months. I'm so thankful for people who are listening on podcasts. It's really growing, and you can get me on over 50 different platforms. And so if you're in the car, you can listen to us all day long. And so thank you again, everybody that supports this program. And I want to get into this fabulous conversation with David Martin. Hi, David. Welcome to the program.
Sarah, wonderful to be here.
You are a wealth of knowledge when it comes to what's going on with this vaccine agenda. As we both know, they're trying to hurry a vaccine to the world, which is absurd because they've never been able to do this. And I mean, it's just a whole it's weird. But you have been studying this for almost two decades now, and you were in that great movie, I don't even want to say the word, and what the name of it is, and it you discussed how you ran into the money and the players behind this. Can you talk about what you learned starting from about 20 years ago when it came to the money and who that was tied to, and then we can get into some recent explosive information that you've uncovered?
Yeah, well, it's fascinating. If you go back and you look at particularly Anthony Fauci's involvement with making coronavirus a commercial pathogen, and I use that term very specifically because this was not an accident. This was premeditated, and it's been premeditated for a long time. But if you go back and look at what the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease started doing in the late 1990s, they were very intrigued by the manipulability of coronavirus. And so in the late 90s, going into 2000, 2001, 2002, there was quite an active effort to start manipulating multiple strains of coronavirus just to see what could be done. This is science with an unconsidered carelessness. If we are to hold that this was not just malicious from the beginning, this is people going, hey, I wonder if I can put this and this together. And unfortunately, that was done with U.S. taxpayer dollars. So, you know, for better or for worse, this was something that was we paid for. And we were the ones that were purchasing the problem we have right now. What's fascinating is that as early as the early 2000s and predating the entire coronavirus public awareness program that came out of the outbreak in Asia with some little outbreaks other places, including North Carolina, where the lab was that was doing the research. What we saw emerge was a commitment as early as the early 2000s, going from between 2000 to 2004, we saw Anthony Fauci directly funneling funds to researchers in Hong Kong and other parts of China to actually collaborate on how to modify, manipulate, detect, and treat coronavirus infections. So I've said many times, before NIAID and before the National Institutes of Health became involved in coronavirus, we didn't have SARS. SARS didn't exist.
Yeah, well, it's the same family of virus.
It's only after they funded research on manipulating the virus that we even had the first outbreak of SARS in late 2002 going into 2003. But by that time, millions of dollars were already invested through the National Institutes of Health, through the Department of Health and Human Services, through NIAID and directly managed by Anthony Fauci, who actually was the architect of making the SARS version of coronavirus a pathogen of commercial interest.
Well, let me ask you, my understanding is certain things were made illegal in this country. And so that's why they went around and made relationships with people and labs in China so that we could fund it and still have access to that research.
Yeah, so that's the unfortunate public relations spin campaign of the alleged fact checkers fact-checking the false facts. And here's the problem. The problem is Anthony Fauci was writing checks to China in the first 3 years of 2000. Between 2000 and 2003, Anthony Fauci was paying for Chinese researchers then. Now, you are absolutely right. In 2012, the United States government made the determination that gain-of-function research, chimeric alteration of the virus, and the recombinant work that was being done on the virus was unethical, and they published laws and directives saying that it was no longer appropriate to do that research. Now, violating the official position of the National Institutes of Health and violating what I have argued for a long time, antitrust laws, Anthony Fauci, working in partnership with the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, broke the law and not only overrode the mandate to have the moratorium established, right, then they outsourced kind of SARS 2.0. But SARS 1.0 was outsourced too. Remember that this was a Chinese-U.S. partnership going back to the early 2000s. And so the tracks that were laid down, if you will, are things that were in play, funded by U.S. taxpayer dollars, supported and operated through NIAID, where the checks were, you know, literally authorized by Anthony Fauci. That China collaboration goes back to the early 2000s. So a decade before the moratorium, they already were laying down the relationships, which when the moratorium hit, they already had a well-established connection to Chinese researchers and the Wuhan Institute of Virology and all of the players that we've heard about now. Those relationships were so well-established that it wasn't like we got to figure out where we're going to take this research. They knew where they were going to take it, and they took it to the people they'd been working with for a decade.
Well, let me ask you. Just yesterday or the day before, Joe Biden said that he wouldn't, so I want to know what you think of this. He would not trust Trump with this vaccine, but anything that Anthony Fauci says he would trust.
Yeah, remember that Joe Biden was vice president for 8 years, and during those 8 years, he authorized and his administration authorized through the establishment of the way in which the executive branch of our government works, he authorized Fauci's breaking the law. That's on his watch. That's not on Trump's watch. That's on Biden's watch. He cannot admit that he violated the law.
Well, and Biden, so that should worry everybody, him aligning with Fauci based on what people know about Fauci. Unless you've been hiding under a rock, Fauci has major issues. And you are doing such a fabulous job uncovering that. But what are they pointing to? Why do they not, you know, the whole vaccine problem, why is Trump's vaccine not reliable? And they're just going to base on Fauci. What is, do you know what this Trump vaccine is and what's going down the pike?
Well, remember that the Secretary for Health and Human Services, Alex Azar, before he was Secretary for Health and Human Services, was a chief lobbyist for the pharmaceutical industry. And one of the problems the pharmaceutical industry has had since the 1980s is, despite all of their lobbying, all of their influence, and all of their fear-mongering around influenza and HPV and other things, unfortunately, the public is not buying the vaccine hegemonic mission, which is everybody should be vaccinated for everything all the time. You need to be dependent on pharmaceuticals. And every fall going into the winter, you need to get your, you know, update of whatever vaccination they come up with. Now, unfortunately, vaccine manufacturers fail to get the message that when they asked Congress to remove liability from their practice of producing toxins, they shot their credibility self in the foot, right? There is no credibility in any industry that says we'll make stuff, we'll sell it, and we will have no accountability for what harm we do. So the problem is—
That's, you know, the PREP Act.
Yeah, but the problem is they got immunity and then are shocked that the American people and people around the world go, well, hold on a minute. If you're not accountable for what you produce, we don't want to take it. Now, I have said many times, I am not anti-vaccination as a scientific concept. I am anti-industrial supplying of toxins forced on a population where the people who are doing the active harm to the population have no accountability. I would be more than happy to reconsider everything I say if not only the corporations, but the executives within the corporations were personally liable for the harm that they do. And the minute they're on the hook for liability, I'll have a different conversation. But as long as they are pleading to have their liability shielded, then I have, as do any thinking population of Americans or people around the world, have a problem, and that is, I think your financial motives, your population management motives, your bizarre, sick views of humanity motives are a problem because you have no accountability, but you get all the benefit, you get all the patronage, you get all of the funds with no liability.
So what is it that you're seeing? Because I agree with you 100%, and I would think that my listeners all agree with you. We're all on board with what the heck, they should have responsibility, and we're not against the vaccine. If it does what you say it does, then hey, this sounds great, but wait a minute, you don't have, there's problems here. But what are we getting with this Trump vaccine? And what are you learning about what's coming at us with Moderna and these other vaccine programs?
Well, so we have this thing called Operation Warp Speed, which was a horrible idea. It was handed to the president, and I think without much consideration, the president said, hey, you know, if industry can step in and fill an important health need, then let's do that. And Trump is a predisposition towards enthusiasm. I mean, we've seen that over and over again, so that's not a new thing. But Operation Warp Speed is a horrible idea. It's a horrible idea for a whole bunch of reasons. The idea that you can take an industry that has no liability for known violations of basic production requirements of safe and effective compounds and say, hey, we're going to look the other way while you go faster doing a thing you've done a terrible job doing slowly, you know.
And unlimited funding under the PREP Act if there's a pandemic. But
correct.
Keep going.
But you're exactly right. All of the pieces of this break down pretty self-evidently simply because you're sitting in a world where you say, do it fast, do it carelessly, do it recklessly. We're going to buy it from you before you've even made it, which is what has happened with the five companies that are in clinical trials right now under Operation Warp Speed. And the incentive, you know this, if the incentive is we've already paid you $1.3 or $1.5 billion to buy what you have not produced, what is your incentive to never sell something because it actually didn't work or it wasn't safe or anything else? That incentive has gone away. The incentive is to force an approval. And the problem with that is we've already seen in the clinical trials that have been published so far, with a virus that more than 95% of the time shows up with no symptoms, the vaccine for that virus has symptoms over 60% of the time, which means that we have a 1,200% greater risk of harm from the actual manipulation of nature than we have from nature itself.
So what are you learning about the various vaccines? Have you dug into what it is that is being put out to the American people or to the people of the world? What is it that, and I know you just got done saying a stat that is very relevant, the 60% versus 5%, but what's in these things and what are you learning? Because I know that you've learned some explosive information about it.
Well, one of the simplest stories is the Moderna story. Now, Moderna was started in 2010. It is a company that, despite all of the federal research dollars that it has received, has not produced anything of value yet. But somehow or another, Anthony Fauci picked it to be the winner, not because it was a winner, not because it had success, not because it was a successful company. It is because he was the inside funder of much of their research, and their technology, which relies on a thing called lipid nanoparticles, or LNPs, is actually a technology that they don't own at all. The lipid nanoparticle technology was invented long before Moderna ever came on the scene. It was invented specifically, among other things, to be used with mRNA vaccines and mRNA introduction. So even the idea of Moderna is not unique to Moderna in 2010. But the technology that they're using relies on proprietary rights held by Canadians and interests here in the U.S. and around the world. And Moderna doesn't have the proprietary rights necessary to make and deliver the vaccine that they're selling. So this is a company that is a patent infringing risk selling to the federal government something that they do not have the legal right to sell. So let's start with that's our best shot.
Do you believe that Anthony Fauci knew?
Of course he does.
But why is he pushing that then? Does he make money on the back end, or what is the deal?
As you know, the senior executives of the company have made a lot of money selling stock based on his hype. So if you're going to pump and dump stock so that the people who you have on your insider list benefit, the way you do it is you take a stock that's highly volatile, you get a statement made in the Oval Office where Fauci goes, Moderna's got some real promise, so the stock goes up. And then you have Jim Cramer that night talking about a gold rush for vaccines on CNBC. And before long, you've hyped the thing up. And then you've got executives who have the ability to liquidate their interests in a company at the very time that company has for the first time hit pay dirt, which should scream to every single human being that actually gets that story, there is something wrong. But this has always been not a story of public health. This is a story of the theft of the U.S. taxpayer. That's what the whole thing has been. And it's been that from the beginning. This is a way for self-serving criminal consortiums of individuals organized within the cover of the Department of Health and Human Services. This is an organized crime racket. And the people who are stealing are doing exactly that. They're stealing. This has never been about our health.
No.
And we have all sorts of other things going into vaccines, which are proven harmful agents, which are the adjuvants, they're the stabilizing compounds, they're delivery mechanisms, and so forth. And the mere fact, Sarah, that somebody would sit here and think that in the space of less than 2 weeks, which was the period of time between when the genome was published and when the vaccine was first theoretically put into a trial, the notion that something that takes 10 years and still to this day doesn't stop the flu could in 2 weeks stop what is allegedly a virus worthy of taking down the economy of the world, the mere thought of that is insanity. Because there is no possible way that could be what the story is. And then, as you know, added to this whole mess is the insistence that there be some sort of evidence, whether it is a particulate, whether it's a nanoparticle, whether it is some sort of tagging mechanism, whatever that tagging mechanism is, such that you can confirm who's been vaccinated versus who hasn't been vaccinated. This whole additional layer, which is essentially the artificial intelligence of the police state control, has co-emerged with this rush to vaccine. And the tragedy is we don't have any information whatsoever because unlike FDA standard rules, the FDA is not making this information publicly available, meaning that you and I, who are supposed to have public information, can't look at it.
Well, and that's awful. But just recently, you know, the CDC came out and said that the majority of people that are dying, 94% of the people dying are dying with COVID, not necessarily of COVID, because there's like 3 to 5 average comorbidities. I mean, people are dying with leukemia and all these other things. And they're not even testing to see if they have COVID-19. If the doctor just says they had some symptoms of it, they're putting it down. In fact, the hospitals are being paid more if they do have it. So there's this huge, you know, push to get doctors to do that, or they there was. Now, Milwaukee just put out a study. I just heard it on mainstream media last night, which is amazing. Well, Fox News, they're the only ones that'll ever put it out anything remotely, and they're controlled as well. But 97% of the stuff, of the deaths coming out of Milwaukee, are based on comorbidities that, and only 3% of the deaths are, they think, are from COVID by itself. So my thing is, how are they going this long with such an obvious false narrative without changing it? You have Joe Biden talking about he only trusts Fauci. You have all these lies that are so obvious. So many people, I mean, it's such an obvious lies on display. It's so hard to watch it from my perspective when I know so much of the truth. And they're just lying constantly. Yeah. Why do you think they're just hell bent on staying with this narrative when so many people know they're lying and making things up?
It is called the very simple power of greed, money, influence, and control. This is a symptom of a disease, not the disease. The disease is that our democracy was sold to industry a long time ago. And it turns out that the industry that has purchased the democracy is the pharmaceutical industry, by a factor of 2 to 1 over what is spent by oil and gas and utilities. The pharmaceutical industry owns our politicians. And it turns out that when your check is really coming from an industry who launders it through lobbyists in Washington, industry associations, medical schools, you name it, when the actual democracy that we say matters in this country has been purchased, we the people lose.
Well, yeah, because it's based on the ability to make money, not on actual true health. And the true health is being, doctors, we're seeing, I had 10 videos with doctors shut, taken off YouTube. And the things they were saying is turning out to be absolutely true, right? And it's a shameful act that they were doing this. And history will look back at this time and be appalled at this behavior as we learn more. Hopefully it does look back because we win. The only way it doesn't look back is if we lose somehow and they stay in control and some weird thing happens. But usually history works itself out in the long run to be truth. So where do we go from here?
It's so important for these conversations to happen, Sarah, because first of all, this preserves a record. In one form or another, we can look at this moment in history and we can say real people, thoughtful people, considerate people actually looked at the facts and did see it. So this was not some sort of improbable black swan event that no one could see. This is actually premeditated. It's organized crime. It is what it is. It's act of domestic terrorism perpetrated on the U.S. population and on the global population. This is actually a willful act of hijack the public sector. That's what it is. And we need to name it for what it is. But the most important thing now is for people to understand that we've got this thing called an election coming up. And in the election that's coming up, people can ask representatives a couple very interesting things. Who is paying for your election? Very simple fact finding. Do we have people standing for elected office who are prepared to say we're not for sale? And listen, I'm not saying this is a Democrat thing or a Republican thing. The fact of the matter is they've bought both sides of the aisle, but we can, as citizens, not vote for people who are for sale. We can actually hold people accountable in the form of a ballot box. We can actually make a decision that says when we go to vote, it actually matters to find out where people stand. You and I both know that the electoral literacy of this country has been suffering for decades, and it's high time that we start asking people, Where do they stand on issues like health sovereignty? Where do they stand on issues like industrial medicine? Where do they stand on things that are actually things that matter to your daily life? Are you going to allow a governor or a municipality in power if they, with impunity, shut down small business? If they, with impunity, harm the livelihoods of 60 million Americans? And if they're prepared to say that I'm willing, with no evidence other than information uploaded to a server from a foreign agency in January, which is the only data we had when we said there was a global health emergency, if we're willing to tear our economy down on foreign intelligence, we don't want you sitting in a governor's mansion. We don't want you sitting in a city hall as a mayor. We don't want you sitting in a Senate or a House seat. We don't want you sitting in the White House. If you are willing to sell out this country for foreign intelligence that was actually contrived around an event horizon that didn't exist, we're not going to put you in office. And unfortunately, the average American citizen does not ask that question. And they must, because this is a time we must stand for our values, not for the values of corruption, manipulation, and industrial hijacking of this democracy.
And do you think that we're moving in that direction? Because the way that we can move in that direction is for people to know the truth. And with, you know, 10 of my videos being removed and the constant persecution of individuals, persecution of truth is really what it is, book burning. Do you think that people are getting the truth?
So my view is very simple, and that is that anytime you're in the middle of a crisis, it looks like a crisis. That's the funny thing about it, right? If you're in the middle of a storm, you're aware of the storm. But like you said before, the cool thing is, like everything else, these storms pass. If we were in Florence during the Medici period, and we saw the bonfire of the vanities where they ran around and they took books and artwork and carvings and beautiful, beautiful pieces of antiquities, and they threw them on fires in the town square, and they lit them because they had a Italian tyrant who had decided that it was time to get rid of anything that didn't conform to his narrow worldview about the illness of the healthy. And by the way, think of the metaphor I just gave you, right? The term bonfire of the vanities comes from the forerunner of Pope Anthony Fauci. Because Pope Anthony Fauci, an alumni of Holy Cross School, a Jesuit-trained crusader, that and that's not me being pejorative, he actually was a Jesuit trained, and the school's name is Crusaders, and it is under the sign of the cross and all of these kinds of things. He has taken this absolutely horrific mandate, and he has decided to take his theological view on the brokenness of humanity and carry it forward to terms like asymptomatic carriers. Asymptomatic carriers. You're healthy. We can see you're healthy, but we're going to assume that you're fallen. We're going to assume that you're broken. We're going to assume you're ill, even though you're healthy. Now, I can understand in a Jesuit theology how that might make sense. But we are allowing him at this moment to burn the books, to burn the art, to tell you not to sing. Right? When on God's green earth did any of us actually fall for something as stupid as singing is harmful to your health? Now, I'll tell you what, sometimes in the morning in the shower, singing is definitely harmful to the well-being of people who are hearing me say that. But singing has never been harmful to health. But you have this psychopath who is actually like a 15th century tyrant saying, I'm going to rob humanity of one of its greatest attributes, which is joy and celebration and singing, because I'm going to hold out the possibility that 95% of people who are healthy need to be treated as though they are broken, right? We're allowing that. And what we need to do is we need to stand up, draw the line in the sand, as we're doing with the New Earth Movement in a couple weeks, October the 2nd. We need to draw a line in the sand and say, you don't get to take our humanity from us because we're the ones giving it up. And it's time that we actually sit there and say, no, you don't get to stop me from singing. You don't get to stop me from associating with others. You don't get to stop me from assembling. These are things which are enshrined in all of the principles of what it means to be human. And if we go back to 1217, when in companionship with the Magna Carta, we actually had the thing called the Charter of the Forest, which was the first legal document that said humans have a right to livelihood by virtue of their existence. And then you fast forward to 2020, and you realize that in 2020, we are actually behind where humanity was 803 years ago. Not surprisingly.
Because we have tyrants.
That's exactly right. But not surprisingly, the reason why you and I are not talking about this, the reason why we're not talking about the 803 years of the recognition of the de facto rights that exist as humans by virtue of our birth, the reason why we don't talk about that is just a couple of years after the Magna Carta and the Charter of the Forest were promulgated, a pope decided to pull the plug on it. And for the next 803 years, the right to livelihood has been something controlled by the state, not an inalienable right of the citizens. We, the people, must demand the fact that as humans, we are entitled to live.
Well, and how do we do that? You have some protests going up on October 2nd. How do we get the people to realize that we are being run by a criminal cartel, mob rule, who are anti-human, who only care about themselves and their own greed?
One of the things I learned a long time ago is facts have never been able to stand up to belief. If you believe that the government is there to take care of you, if you believe that it is the responsibility of your state or your municipality or your president, if you believe that it is their responsibility to look after you, then no amount of what I'm saying is going to land. I'm just going to be a voice in the wind. But if you realize that it is only in the conglomeration of those of us who are not going to fall for tyranny, those of us who are going to stand against the tide, if you understand that my job is not to convince you of a belief, my job is to expose anyone to the evidence. And as I have seen over the last now several months, I'm starting to see, as I'm sure you are starting to see and others are starting to see, that enough of the story is breaking down that people are going back and reconsidering what they heard and dismissed before. This is a journey. This is a long effort. This is not an overnight success. There is not a magic wand that comes from Washington or that comes from state houses or that comes from capitals around the world. This is about people who actually continue to beat the drum of liberty in the face of tyranny. And what happens, and it's slow and it's frustrating, and many days I sit there going, oh my gosh, is this even worth having these conversations? The answer is absolutely yes. Because as long as our voices are not silent, even though they try to silence them, it doesn't work. We must stay vigilant.
What do you have going on October 2nd that you want to share with people?
So I've been working with Sasha Stone and Imani Mamlouchian and others to actually awaken the world to these issues. This is a global issue. It's not a U.S.-only issue. And what we're doing is making sure that whether you are in Asia Pacific, whether you are in Europe, whether you're in Africa, whether you're in North America, South America, wherever you are around the world, we are in the business of making sure we're bringing all the information together in a single platform. So there's a 4-hour event, reclaimyourlives.org. You can go, you can sign up. This is a virtual and actual event, depending on where you are in the world. And what we're doing is we're bringing together a number of different voices so that all of those voices can be not only heard and shared, but more importantly, we can show that this is actually the world coming together, not a series of individual activists here and there doing their own thing, which is great, but this is about bringing people together. Because the fact is that this whole plan of the alleged epidemic, which is actually nothing more than an exercise of state power control, this whole thing has worked because we allowed ourselves to be separated. First thing they did was distance us, put us in our homes, lock us up, right? That was the first thing that happened. Well, we're taking a step, and you can go to Reclaim Your Lives, have a look at it, sign up for it, participate in it, and realize that you're not standing alone. You're standing with solidarity of people all over the world. Things like that, things like the events we're going to be doing in New York, the first weekend in October, we're going to have a screening of the film That Cannot Be Named. We're going to have a large gathering of people that is going to come together to have a learn-in to understand how to do a investigation, how to do the inquiries that we've been doing. 1 week later, we're going to be down in Georgia, and we're going to be doing the same kind of thing where a number of us are getting together. What's happening is we're just assembling and recognizing that while each one of our voices in and of itself is important, the unification of our voices is absolutely critical. So this is about stepping out of the individual and into the collective. And our goal is to make sure that that helps build the momentum that actually can lead to transformation before we hit the fateful day in November, where if the current, we are going to have individuals elected into power who are going to compel interventions from which people cannot escape. And that's something that should wake everybody up.
Well, they're trying to use communism and socialism. Well, communism, they're trying to use this Black Lives Matter, which they've co-opted, and the poor black people are being used again. They're using Antifa. They're using communist tactics to get our country to change. But in the same time, these people are pansies. They're patsies, if you will, because they're really bringing in a new world order dictatorship where they want to control all of us like this, but in mass, and they're already doing it around the world. And so there's a lot of people who are snowed thinking they can do this communal thing and help the world. But the people funding it are the very same people who are perpetrating this crime and evil on us. And so how do you make, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's important to separate a couple things. This is not communism or fascism or socialism or capitalism. This is criminal conspiracies, right? The fact that they're using tactics that other isms have used throughout history is merely the anecdote of the fact that they're using agencies of control. And by the way, every system has used agencies of control. But this is a criminal conspiracy. This is actually a few individuals who are robbing the public. And the way they're robbing the public is through terrorism, through extortion, and through organized crime. That's what it is. This isn't an ideology. I wish it was an ideology because then you could engage it in a thoughtful debate. This is criminal conspiracy. And it's really important for us to understand that they could care less about whether it is communism at the end or socialism at the end or any other ism at the end, because that is meant to divide us. This is a criminal organization that does not care about anything but their power and their greed. That's it.
Well, and they're using these people as patsies to get. Yeah. So we're saying the same thing, and you're trying to tell them you guys are going to be horrified when you learn who you're helping and what you're helping to usher in, because it's what you hate the most, but they don't understand. Yeah. So how can people get involved in your effort on October 2nd? I like the fact that you're educating a lot of people and people can come together and feel that there's something they can do to take action, because they're afraid of a lot of people coming at once. It's important, though, that it is a form of action and that it's not just letting, because sometimes they like to just let people vent and then they flush, they you know, push them aside. It needs to be a force of action. So how are you, what are you doing?
Well, so as you know, earlier this year, I started working to encourage people to actually get out of the protests and doing something. And that included making sure that personal injuries, personal losses are actually held accountable through things like the Form 95, which is the declaration of collection of interest for when federal agencies and government agencies actually harm individuals. And so I had people working through the U.S. Department of Justice and making sure that there's accountability directed towards the Department of Health and Human Services. Now, the great thing is, my Form 95 videos went out. Tons of people started filing claims against the government. And not surprisingly, because the statute is in place that forces the government to respond, now people are actually in real conversations about really holding people accountable.
Excellent. Yep.
What I have been doing on the state level, doing on the local level, I have actually been supplying legal efforts. I've been supplying public policy. I've been supplying cities and municipalities and states and attorneys general and U.S. attorneys around the country. I've been supplying them with information that allows them to actually leap over the investigation side of things so that they can actually start taking action. And fortunately, many of them are taking action. So we see in various states now, not a lawsuit against face mask wearing, but a lawsuit that challenges the very existence of the epidemic in the first place. We're starting to see that process transform. So what started off as a bunch of efforts to try to chip away at the individual civil liberties losses, we are now moving down the pathway of getting people to come on side to say, let's go after the root of the tree, not a leaf on the tree. And so my focus has been largely directed to enable people to take legal action, to organize themselves such that they can reopen their towns, their cities, their businesses. And we've been very successful across the country. And as you know, I've often been asked now to share what I'm doing in now major media platforms. So whether it was the Brian Rose, whether it was Mickey Willis, whether it was any of those things, and we've got another film coming out very shortly. Beautiful feature film that's coming out, Liberty Lockdown. When that comes out, it's going to be another wonderful expression of making sure that we're using every platform possible to give people the tools that they need to take individual action. Because the minute you actually engage your brain and you stop seeing yourself as a victim and you start seeing yourself as doing something, and by the way, I'm not attached to what the something is other than do something. Move out of the notion of I'm being victim, I'm being controlled, into I can actually take action today. And so I've been dedicated to that. My wife and I have been doing our videos on davidmartin.world every week. When we get those videos up, we've been sharing them with thousands of people across the country and around the world. And what's happening is people are being equipped to do things that allow them to take an action and see that it is possible to transform their existence by actually engaging.
Well, thank you so much. Now, where is your YouTube video? How can they reach you? Is it just on YouTube, or do you have a website too you want people to go to, or how do people get to you?
So the David Martin World YouTube channel has a, you know, once a week thing called Butterfly of the Week. It's our weekly video that we produce Monday afternoons. It goes up on YouTube Tuesday mornings. So that's on Facebook, that's on YouTube. That information has been up and has had no interruption since March of this year. So, and by the way, I've been very direct, I've been very blunt, and it's still staying up, so there you go. So that's there, davidmartin.world is the website. And then, you know, people, if they wanna know kind of what's going on in the darker and deeper sides of all of these things, I have two books that are now being taken up with very active interest. One I published in 2011, Coup de 12, which is the enterprise that bought the presidency. It's the backstory on the Obama election. And it's something that a lot of people are going back to reread because it's pretty important. And my new book, Lizards Eat Butterflies, which is actually an examination of how we've been conditioned to think and to respond rather than to actually consciously engage. And it's an examination of whether or not we are going to be puppets for somebody else or whether we're going to stand in solidarity with each other as sovereign human beings. And so Lizards Eat Butterflies is my manifesto for humanity. And those two things are things that are, once again, ways that people are getting acquainted with the work. But everything can be found at David Martin World on YouTube and davidmartin.world online.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap this up?
Well, Sarah, I'm always grateful for these conversations. The fact of the matter is, I've told people many times, the beautiful thing about the whole coronavirus illusion and the COVID-19 scare is that great people whose lives would not have otherwise intersected are actually getting together. And we are forming what George Bush called the coalition of the willing. I'm calling the coalition of the intelligent. You know, we're actually putting together real people of amazing talent and skill sets from around the world. And this conversation represents one of those. And I'm very grateful to have it with you. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much. And you have an amazing rest of your week.
Thank you very much. Have a beautiful day.